Amen. Y'all give him a hand clap. They've been doing that faithfully for, I don't know, 25 years or how long? Long time. Well, Maggie, come up here and let's do that. A couple Wednesday nights ago, Maggie was telling what's going on with it's a Planned Parenthood stuff, so here.
Okay. Well, I've partnered with two pro-life groups who feel led to purchase all of the Planned Parenthood facilities that are closing. So far, 17 of 42 here in Texas have closed. We've purchased two so far. We're changing those from places of death to places of grace and mercy. And we're offering all kinds of services to women, not only for health, but also for healing, emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. Also to men, because there are some daddies out there who had no choice in what happened to their children. So we're offering healing to them as well. So I would appreciate your partnering with me in prayer as God provides the money that he leads us to the next Planned Parenthood to buy. And I'm just anxious and looking forward to finally there being no Planned Parenthoods in Texas and then in the United States, that we're done with all of that. I did receive an email from one of the women that I work with, a young girl who was working in a Planned Parenthood facility. She had had an opportunity to visit with one of our pro-abortion or pro-choice people, and then one of our pro-life people visited with her. And at the end of that visitation, she had an encounter with Jesus. At that point, she walked into the facility and quit her job, left her paycheck behind, left everything behind. Came back and talked with the pro-life worker and said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the pro-life worker said, don't worry about it. Come with me. She took her home. She provided for her, cared for her, and found her a job. And so that's a part of the ministry that we have to commit ourselves to. If we've said that we're going to save children and save women, we have to provide for them too. So we have to make ourselves available. So I just praise God that he's doing a wonderful work here in Texas.
You know, the title Planned Parenthood can be pretty deceiving, right? I mean, if you just go by the title, you think, well, that's a good thing. They're helping people be parents. No, they're helping people not be parents. That's what they're doing. So, Maggie, thank you for that. And anytime someone says, well, let me see if I feel led to help you, just hand them a piece of lead. Say, here, feel this for a little bit, and then let's go to work. Work on that. All right, get your Bibles out. I've got an email. I want all you women. Y'all are being rebellious. Very few people are sending me stuff. It's ministrywisdom@yahoo.com. And I asked the question, how do, according to Titus 2:4, you know, it says women, the older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands and how to love their children. So a couple weeks ago, we went over how, you know, and had some good things about how to love your husband. You know, if it's in the Bible that the women need to be taught how to love their husbands, then they're probably not real lovable all the time. Would that be true? That would be very true. And also, if it's in the Bible that the women need to learn how to love their children, that maybe the children aren't quite lovable all the time. Is that not true? If you've got kids up into at least teenagers, you know exactly that sometimes they cannot be real lovable. But that's what it says. Older women teach the younger women how to love their husband and their children. So I come up with this. I was in this dilemma. What is older women? How do you put a line and go, you're older, you're not? So I stepped out there and just jumped in the middle of it and said, if you've been married for 25 years or older, you qualify as the older women. Okay? That means that you have been married for 25 years. You have obviously learned how to love your husband, at least, or at least tolerate him. And if you've raised children, you know that you've had some opportunities to be in some crisis situations that they needed love. Is that true? So anyway, this last time, this is what I got on how to love your children. And this was what was sent in. This is going to be the same scripture in four or five different translations. The first one is the Message translation. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. Now look, if you go listen to what the world is going to tell you, they're going to tell you, oh, you can't do that. You can't discipline them little darlings. It's going to hurt their psyche if you discipline them. If you take a rod to them, it's going to hurt their psyche. No, it's going to hurt their butt. That's what it's for. That is the whole purpose of it. To remind them, don't go do what you've been doing. Same one in the Amplified. He who spares his rod of discipline hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines diligently and punishes him early. Y'all believe what the Bible says? You sure? You positive? All right. If you don't correct your children, you don't love them. If you love them, you will be quick to discipline them. If you refuse to discipline your son, it proves you don't love him. For if you love him, you will be prompt to punish him. Just talking to the younger women, I'm going to say if you're raising children right now, don't listen to what the world's got to tell you about how to raise your children. There's a biblical way to do it, and it works. God is a whole lot smarter than the rest of us. And he's laid down some pretty good principles on how to raise children. I laughed at my son and my daughter-in-law. Don't know where he went. Taking back there, taking care of his son. They got Trenton home. I'm sure Joe and Christy, same thing. Got Titus home. They've been home a couple days, and they're like, there is no instruction manual for this thing. It's, what do you do? This is what you do right here. Telling you, all the younger women, it says the Bible, for the older women, to teach the younger women how to love their children, and that is one way to do it. Discipline your children, folks. They will love you for it. When we used to go into the jails and preach to the youth detention center, that was the one thing you could ask them. Said, what do you wish would have happened? Every one of them said, I wish my parents would have cared. I wish my parents would have told me no. That was coming from kids who are in jail. So you may look like the bad guy right from the beginning, but you're not the bad guy. You're not supposed to be the friend. You are the parent. Amen? Amen. We had all kinds of fun things we did with our kids. Then we'll get into the message, but all kind of fun things. Chad, the older brother, they'd get in trouble. So we lived in Kentucky at Fort Knox on a military base, so we'd send them out there and make them cut their own whipping stick. And it is hilarious to watch that. Because older brother who had been through it a time or two would go, pick that one, they're going to send us back out here. Pick that one, they're going to kill us with it. You know, so you got to get just the right little switch. But, you know, and in fun, that's true, but there's a way to discipline your kids, and it is in love. And one of the things I learned, probably a little late, but one of the things I learned is don't discipline them while you're angry. He's probably got a mark or two on him that while I was learning that. But he grew up okay. He's back there. He's fine. Didn't kill him. But if I could send anything out to him, I'd say don't discipline your children while you're angry. Explain to them why they're being disciplined. This is the reason. We set boundaries. Okay, here's another one. It's the parent's job to set boundaries. Do you know what the kid's job is? To test those boundaries. That is their job. That's what they do. And if they find out that you can make parents, if you will move your boundaries because of their testing, you are in a lot of trouble. There's a time to loosen up on those boundaries, but it's when you choose, not when they choose. Amen? Amen. One other thing, then we'll get into it. I asked, how many know when you're 21 years old and you've got two kids and you've been in the military and you're gone and you're like, you need God's help. You're just like, go, God, what do we do? And one day I just asked God, what even really, not like even being real spiritual, it's like, God, what's the best thing I could do for my kids? As a father, what is the best thing I could do for my kids? You know what he told me? This is for the dads. We picked on the women. This is for the dads. You know what God told me? Love their mother. The best thing you can do for your kids is love their mother. Think about that one for a little bit. You know what? We could solve a whole lot of problems running around the United States right now if parents would discipline kids and daddies would love the mother. Amen? Okay, I'll get off that. Go to James 1 again. And we'll get going here. Over about the last month I've been ministering here, we've been on James 1, where it talks about asking for wisdom. James 5, James 1. Verse 5 says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And we talked about that if you are going to ask God for wisdom, you better be ready, because what God's wisdom is not our wisdom. In whatever situation it is that you're in, if God is going to tell you something that's not going to make sense to your natural mind, and you have got to come to grips with that. You've got to be able to say, God's smarter than I am. I wrote down this statement last week, and it says, if you can judge Jesus able to perform his word for you and get over the fact the answer won't make sense to you, you can walk in faith. Because see, God's answers don't make sense. How many times were the disciples running around shaking their heads going, what did he just say? All the time. Because God's answers won't make sense to the carnal mind. And like it or not, we walk around in a carnal mind most of the time. So when you're asking God, God, what do I do in this situation? And something, and God speaks to you and you go, well, that'll never work. You're on the right track. Start seeking God because he's trying to tell you something. I've used the example on tithing. It's just the basic one that everybody can understand. When you're sitting there going, God, we are in a financial fix. What do we do? And God says, give. And you go, no, that don't make sense. I'm in a financial fix. I need money. And God says, you need to plant. You go, that don't make sense. Have y'all ever been there? Listen, let me get this straight right off the bat. We've already everybody's already given. There's not going to be another offering taken up. So I'm not trying to get money out of you. But I'm telling you, that's how God blesses his people. But here's the trick, or not trick. Here is what some people will do. Okay? You'll be sitting there and you go, my gosh, we're in a financial bad time right now. Things are really going bad. I heard that preacher say that we need to give. So you'll take out $5, you'll put it in an offering plate, and you'll get mad at God tomorrow because your problems aren't fixed. That goes on all the time. And we've all been part of it probably. But listen, what you planted today is for your future. You don't go plant corn yesterday and walk out there and go, God, I'm mad at you because there's no corn to harvest. You are planting. If you plant something yesterday and get a return today, that's called a miracle. And you're not supposed to live from miracle to miracle. You're supposed to live from seed time to harvest time, from seed time to harvest time. So you need to continually plant so God can continually bring it back on the waves daily for you. Amen? That's just the way it works. So that don't make sense. I agree with you. It don't, but that's what God said. That's just the way it works. All right? Go to, where were we? James 1. No, stay there right there for a minute. It says, For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let me get back to my notes here. So and then we talked about how do you don't doubt. Is anybody, that's the big question. You know a mustard seed of faith? You know how big a mustard seed is? Everybody's seen a mustard seed, little bitty thing. It said a mustard seed of faith will move a mountain. So it's yes, faith plays a big part in it, but what plays a bigger part in you not receiving from God is the doubt that creeps into your brain. That's what is sent in there to uproot all of it. And we talked about how you don't doubt. And the way you don't doubt, just quickly, is you have to believe the guy who made the promise is able to perform it. That's in a nutshell. If you believe Jesus can perform what he said, you won't doubt. If you believe, and we went through it, you know, a couple different scenarios. If I believe Frankie said that he's going to be there at 9 o'clock tomorrow, I'm not going to be worried about whether Frankie's going to be there at 9 o'clock tomorrow. But I'm telling you, if I don't know Frankie, I'm going to have a little bit of doubt. And there's the problem. Because we really don't know Jesus. You say, oh, I go to church every Sunday. Well, I'm telling you, if you're doubting, you really don't know him. Because he is not a man that he will lie. And the promises in this book, he said he will do for you. But it is tied into, do you believe it or not? You're sitting there going, I don't ever see anything. You don't ever believe anything. Not because you're saying, well, I read it, I know it, I see it. Well, there's a difference between reading it, knowing it, and seeing it, and believing it. And we went over that when you believe something, there is no anxiety on the inside of you. It's just not there. And I've, you know, told a story about somebody coming to pick me up, or I made up a story about somebody coming to pick me up, and I needed to be somewhere at a certain time, and they needed to pick me up at a certain time. And the person that was coming over to pick me up, I just knew was going to be there. They had proved themselves faithful in times past. So when it come 5 minutes before they're supposed to be there, I'm not up wringing my hands, walking around. My God, they're not here. Well, they're not supposed to be here. It's 5 till. They'll be here at whatever time. But you take that person that you know is going to be late. Well, you are a wreck on the inside. Or you take the person you don't know at all and you're counting on them. You're going to be a wreck on the inside if it's important to you. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So we went through all that. So what I want to go to Genesis right now, and I want to go over the last thing probably we're going to talk about in this, is how do you stay in faith over the long haul? How do you do that? So who's got an iPhone? Raise it up. Everybody's got it with you. Raise it up. Everybody raise it up. Nobody else has an iPhone in here? We hear them ringing all the time. Okay. See, there's plenty more. Now, I don't even know if I can do this, but we're going to work through this together. I learned this 5 minutes ago with my wife. Open your iPhone up. Yeah. That too. We're going somewhere else, so. All right. How many of y'all have a calendar up there? Push it. Did it come up on the 13th? See that little plus sign up there? Push it. Did it get you to a title? Write these words. Stay plugged in. Write that in the title. Stay plugged in. Now down there where it says start in, is everybody through? Okay. Y'all type like I do. Although I have to say this iPhone's a whole lot easier to type in than that other little thing I had, that little armadillo phone I had. Okay, now where it says start, end, and time zone, push that. In blue, do you have start? Okay, it's highlighted. Okay, now go down there to the, where is it, Trace? The date. No. The time. Go to the time where you can scroll down and put 8 o'clock in the time. A.M. Are y'all up at 8 a.m.? Is everybody up at 8 a.m.? Okay. Because your timer is going to go off here, I hope, when this is all over. So put 8 a.m., okay? Now push ends. Nope, leave that alone. Then go to done, right? Okay, go to done. Down there where it says repeat, push that and hit every day. Did I make it through it? Made it through there. Hit done. At 8 o'clock, if you did it right, every morning, this thing's going to ring in your pocket, and it's going to say, you're going to look at it, and it's going to say, stay plugged in. Okay? Every morning, unless you change it. Or if you didn't do it right. Now, let's go tell you why you need to stay plugged in. Go to Genesis, chapter 12. Everybody know the story about Abraham and how Abraham is known as the father of faith, and how Abraham, over a long period of time, believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness' sake. Everybody know that? All right, let's look at this. Chapter 12, verse 1. This is the first time I'm going to say right here where God speaks to Abraham and gives him some instruction. He says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was one of the first times God speaks to Abraham right there, and he gives him the overall view of what Abraham's life is going to be. He tells him, this is what it's going to be. But how many of you know that there's a process to get from where you are now to what God said? And that's why I'm saying stay plugged in. You've got to be faithful to see what God has for you. You can't be off over here, off over there, off over here, and expect God to be able to bless you the way He wants to bless you. All right? Then look at chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Verse 10 says, now there was a famine in the land. You know God sent him to a place that there was a famine? He took him out of his land, which obviously was doing pretty good in, and sent him to a land that was in famine. Don't mean anything, but just thought it was interesting. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes up now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth. Now, does Abraham have children? What is God doing here? He is putting it on the inside of Abraham. Look, you're going to have a lot of descendants. They are going to be blessed. Future kings are going to come up through you. But so far, Abraham has no kids. He started when he was 75 years old is when he left that land. By the time the promise came of Isaac, he was 100 years old. It was 25 years. From the time they started this process to the time that there was the child of promise. 25 years. And in this 25 years that we're just kind of going through quickly, God spoke to him that I can find 10 times in 25 years. Could have been more. I mean, I just quickly went through it right quick. But it's not like God was sitting there talking to him every day, every day, every day. No, when I've, why I had you put that in your phone is you need to stay plugged in because you don't know when it's your time for God to speak to you. You need to be ready when God is ready to speak to you. Got one story about that. I was working as a carpenter after I got out of the military. We were living here in Utopia. I was working in Uvalde. Didn't get paid to drive to Uvalde. I had to get in my pickup, leave here, be in Uvalde by 8 o'clock, work till 5 o'clock, turn around, come home, and that was my day. And I made between $5 and $8 an hour. That was in 1990, 1991, sometime in that. Well, during this process, you're raising two boys, you're trying to pay rent, and I know money was worth a little bit more then than it is now, but not that much. I mean, it was pretty tough. So on the way back between Canepa and Sabinal one day, I was just in my truck talking to God. He wasn't talking. I was doing all the talking. Complaining probably or whatever. But I finally, where it says in that scripture back over there where, you know, blessing, I will bless you. You know, and you'll be the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. And I started saying that, just going down the road, trying to remind myself what God had said that my life was supposed to be like. We're making, I don't know, we'll say at the top end, $8 an hour at the time. So obviously we weren't seeing it, but just driving down the road, and all of a sudden, religious circles call it all kind of thing, rhema, light bulb, whatever, comes on, and I went, no, I really am blessed. I really am the head and not the tail. Those things I'm saying really do apply to me. And at that moment, God spoke to me and said, mark where you are today and see where I take you in 1 year. Okay? So we go on. Talking about staying plugged in. So how many of y'all know that when you go all the way to Uvalde, you work all day, you leave there at 5, you come back, you get here at 6, church starts at 7, you're not real on Wednesday night, you're like, I don't even really want to go. But I decided to go, because like we do 99% of the time. Said, no, it's Wednesday night, we're going to church. I then happened to be preaching that, I think it was a Wednesday, or maybe a Tuesday or a Monday, or he usually does Mondays and Tuesdays when he was here back then. So it may have been a Monday or a Tuesday. So Ivan's preaching. He gets through preaching. He looks at Tracy and I and he says, you two come up here. I'm like, oh, great. This is what he said, though. And, okay, with prophecy, there's all kind of different prophecy and stuff. But most of the time, it's said in a manner that if it doesn't happen, it's your fault. Is that not true? Most of the time. Most of the time, after a prophecy comes through, you can go, I'm really not real going to be able to sure. I'm not going to be able to judge this in any way. This time, Ivan stood right there and he said, because you have been faithful, because you have been faithful to tithe, that God says that he is going to double your income in 1 year. I looked at my wife when we got through and I went, did he say what I think he said? I wasn't real concerned about the doubling of the income as much as he said something that I'm really going to be able to find out if he's right or not. He said, if you do this, if you do that, he said, because God said, because you have been faithful in the past to do these things, I am going to double your income. And I was like, this is going to be easy. It's not like we got to keep doing what we're doing, but it's not like we've got to go do something. God said, we already did it. And it's in the process. Stay plugged in. If I would not have come to church that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it was, God would not have been able to speak that to me. But what he did was confirm something that was in my heart, and Tracy and I started a business after that because God had said, he told me it while I was in the truck. He spoke through Ivan to say, look, God said he's going to bless you because you've been found faithful. And I said, you know what? God's in this. We had been back and forth about, do we do this? Do we don't do this? Everybody says we're crazy for doing this. Are we going to do it or not? And we finally just sat there and went, you know, God said. So we did it, and our income almost tripled in 1 year. Now, I say that to say this. We would have never had that opportunity if we had not stayed plugged in. Because if we wouldn't have come that whatever day it was, and God would not have had the chance to speak through Ivan that day. I don't know, he may have got his point across some other way. But if we'd have not been there that day, if we'd have stayed at home because I was tired, we might not have seen God work in our lives. So I encourage you, stay plugged in. Whether it's coming to church every chance you get, whether it's reading your Bible every chance you get, you don't have to sit there and read long things. I'd hate to read. I've read one book that I can remember totally, and it was Lessons from a Sheepdog. Excellent book, by the way, if any of y'all want to get it, because it is an excellent book. It talks about how one of the hardest things to do is train a dog to stay, and he goes that into the spiritual side. One of the hardest things to do is teach a Christian to stay. Because that dog sees when you're trying, that border collie, when you've got him out there and you need those goats to stay in this pen and you don't want them to come out of this pen, you put that dog in the gate right there, or in the gap, because you can't run over there and shut it because you got all these other goats out there. So you put that dog and you say, stay. And then you go off and you're collecting more goats, and what's that dog want to do? He wants to go collect more goats, but no, his job is stay right there. One of the hardest things to do is teach a dog to stay in that situation. And he said it's one of the hardest things to do is teach a Christian to stay. We get, go off over here, go off over there. I'm telling you, your blessing is being plugged in. Abram at this time turns into Abraham, goes 25 years of staying plugged in. Heard God about 10 times, probably a few more that I didn't see. But I know he heard God 10 times because he said, and God said 10 times in there. Keep going. Verse 15. And the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will I give you, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. That's the next thing he hears. Abram is trying to, he knows God's going to bless him. He knows he's going to have a lot of descendants, but he cannot figure out how it's going to be. So he just says, look, I've got a slave, a servant, a whatever, and their son, let that one be the one who's my descendants. And God says, no, that's not the way it's going to work. One's going to come from your body. Okay, so what's at this point right now, what's the last thing Abraham has heard? A child from his body is going to be his descendant. Did he say it was from Sarah? Okay, that gets important. I'm not God, but I think it solved a whole lot of problems if God would have said, you and Sarah are going to have a child. But like I said, it don't make sense, but that's what he did. Said in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. Then he goes and he does they cut a covenant and everything. Verse 16, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. dumb move, Sarah, but can you see how Abraham, the last thing he heard is it's coming from him. He hadn't heard yet that it's coming from Sarah. So he goes, maybe this is God, what's God's doing. It was a mistake, but he thought maybe it is. Here's another thing. I don't know this. This is Thus Saith Dwayne. But I mean, just listen and see what you think. At that time, biblical time, they had no way to find out who was fertile and who wasn't. Is that true? Either you had kids or you didn't. If there was a man and woman there who could not have kids, they didn't know if the man was infertile or if the woman was infertile. They didn't know. So God has been speaking to Abram this whole time. You're going to have descendants. They're going to be many and everything. So Sarah could have possibly gone, you know what? Abram, you're just not getting this. God is trying to increase your faith here by telling you all these things. And the reason we're not having kids is because you are infertile. So in her, I'm just saying, maybe the possibility is she could have said, tell you what? Here's my servant. Herself planning to go, when she doesn't get pregnant, go, see, told you. It's you. But what happened? She got pregnant. So what does that mean? What that means is now the problem is within Sarah. Not one time that I can find has Sarah been standing there when God has spoke any of this. Not once. All she's going by is what her husband is telling her. And here's the point there. You can't live off somebody else's rhema. You can't. You got to find out for yourself what God is talking to you about. I can't live off what Tracy hears from God for her. And she can look at me and say, Dwayne, God's saying this about our situation. Okay, but I need to hear God. But if I'm not staying plugged in, it's really, 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 really hard not to hear to hear God if you're not plugged in. It's not a bad. I mean, you're living your life. We're busy. We're all these things. But you live a frustrated Christian life because you do not get to see God move in your life. And the reason we don't get to see God move in our life is we're not plugged in. We don't give God the opportunity to speak in our lives. 10 times in 25 years for Abram. 10 times. It wasn't a whole lot. I can say in my life, since 1990, probably 3 or 4 times. Keep going. Let's see. Where was I? Start 17, I guess. Last part of 16. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. So they left when he was 75 years old. So that's been 11 years now. When Abram was 99, how many more years is that? See, we read the Bible and we think, everything just happened, dot, 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 dot. But it don't. You have to look at the timeline. It's 25 years going on here. That's a long time. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, and walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, talked with God, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and shall be with your father, and you shall be a father of many nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you. Okay? Keeps going. Your descendants after you. Then God, 15, then God said to Abram, as for your wife Sarah, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Okay? That's the next time. Abraham, he got a little bit more information. Now you're going to have a son by Sarah. He didn't know that before. The only thing he had known before was the son that was going to come from him. Well, now he's getting a little bit of clarification. Now the son's going to come from you and Sarah. Sarah still has not heard this, by the way, that I can find in here. All she's doing is Abraham's going home and say, Sarah, I know you're 90 years old, but you're going to have a son. I know I'm 100 years old, but we're going to have a baby. But where's the problem lie? With Sarah. So she's the one who's really got to get it. She's the one who that rhema, that light bulb, that whatever has really got to go off on the inside of her. Okay? Keep going. No, stay there. Look at verse, starting just 18. Then the Lord appeared to him by the tree of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. He's talking about Abram. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by. Insomuch as you have come to your servant, they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, make ready three meals of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah your wife? Okay. He said, Here in the tent. He didn't say there in the tent. He said, Here in the tent. So where's Abraham standing? Somewhere by the tent, right? And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son. Sarah was listening. It's the first time Sarah ever heard God say that she was going to have a son. The light bulb went off on the inside of her at that moment. And if you'll look, within a year, they had a son. See, 25 years those two walked through this whole ordeal, but they stayed plugged in. They did not get mad at God. They kept doing what they knew to do, and they kept listening for God. God, what do I need to do? Oh, they were just open. They were just going, God, what do we need to do? And during that 25 years, there was points in their lives where God said, I'm going to give you a little bit more information. I'm going to give you a little bit more information. And what I'm saying to you is don't miss those bits of information that God is trying to give to you. And the way you don't miss them is you be in God's presence as much as you can. Whether it's in church, whether it's reading your Bible, I don't care what it is, but I just tell you, in my life, I'm glad there's sometimes, and I'm sure I missed a bunch of them, but I'm glad there is those times that I was there and God could speak to me and I could walk out what God said and see now the fruits of what God said. I'm glad about that. Like I said, I'm sitting there going, okay, God, when I missed them, let's bring those back around again. Let's get them back around. So that's the encouragement this morning. Be in God's presence as much as you can, because like he told me a couple Wednesdays ago, I was tired and I said, I don't want to go to church. And God said, it's not that you want to, it's that you need to. You need to be in church. Amen. Amen. Stand up. Frank, you got the prayer team? Prayer team, come on down. Don't forget, next Sunday is Dinner on the Grounds. It's Pastor Appreciation. The meat is provided, so everybody's just bringing all the stuff that goes with the meat, right? Yes, we're doing that. I'm not supposed to be asking you. Where's Joseph? Everything, pies, desserts, pie. I keep hearing pies. I told Robert the other day, I said, man, I've got it. I know what we're going to do for you. Text him, said, we're going to get you and Laura up front and have a group hug. I never got a response back, so I guess we better not. Yeah. Group hug. Amen. Well, if before we're going to dismiss, if anybody needs agreement on anything, they're up here to do that. And stay plugged in. Hopefully y'all got your phone set right, and tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, it's going to go beep, 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 and you go, stay plugged in. So it's going to remind you every morning. So, Father, I just thank you for this day, Lord. I think it is your day. Lord, I thank you for a blessed people. Lord, I thank you that as we just learn to stay plugged in, Lord, that you speak to each and every one. Lord, I thank you that you've got a specific word for each and every one of them that pertains to exactly what they're going through in their life. So, Lord, I thank you as we stay plugged in, that over a long period of time, Lord, not just tomorrow or the next day, but stay plugged in, that you show us where we need to be and how we need to get there. Bless these people today in Jesus' name. Amen.